960 on the AM dial. Online at sportsnet.ca/960. Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960. The Fan. The Fan. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Winter conditions seem better with quattro all-wheel drive. And the 2015 Audi Q3 extends the idea of what an SUV can be. Visit GlenmoreAudi.com.
Controversial 4 o'clock hour, to say the least, on the program. Eric Dehatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com, just wrote a column for the Globe and Mail on Johnny Gaudreau. Would love him to weigh in. And again, we kind of eagerly awaiting an explanation here, if one is required. Also, we'll talk somewhat less controversial, but controversial nonetheless. Andrew McBride yesterday announced as the new Alberta Lacrosse Association technical director. He is the captain of the Calgary Roughnecks. They're 0-1-1. Should he really be leading our youth? Of course he should. We'll talk to him in a little while. Speaking of people that shouldn't be leading anything other than headlines, because he does such a darn good job. Josh Humphries joins us.
I'm not happy today.
Isn't this the... I am not in a good mood until about
15 minutes ago.
I know what I'm supposed to do, which is wait, because clearly there's got to be an explanation and there's going to be something that comes down the pike and goes...
But you know there won't be because of the guys who are running the show up there.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You know what? For me, I feel horrible for Johnny Gaudreau. The 21-year-old goes there, right, expecting just to play in the skills thing when he gets there. Fine and dandy. Today or late last night, or somebody puts it in his mind that he's playing in the All-Star game. It's reported by everybody. You sit him down in front of the media all day answering questions about getting into the All-Star game, yep, and now you're actually going to participate in it. And then now you're going to say, nope, you're not good enough. We would rather play one short than have you play in the game. This is pathetic.
Yeah. Well, I keep saying, and I keep going back to it, and he may not be the only one, but he's certainly the one I paid attention to, and that's Wes Gilbertson from the Calgary Sun, who was asking questions midday going, okay, where's the release? And when I saw that, and I came in here and I said to you, is it official? Have we seen anything? Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Johnson reported. Well, okay, good enough, you know, and it falls into a pattern, right?
Yeah.
You know, Malkin comes out, Forsberg goes in. Eric Johnson fall, and you know, they didn't confirm Eric Johnson until halfway through the day either.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Ekblad. And he goes in, and now you're just going to say, okay, that's enough. We're going to play one short. You know, that's not the NHL's fault in terms of they were not the ones that said, hey, we're going to put him in and then yank the carpet out.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody clearly thought he was going in.
Well, should they not have done something when I'm sure somebody around the NHL knew all day, saw all these reports go. I'm sure somebody was around.
Well, was he asked in his scrum about?
If you go on Twitter and search it, he was asked he made quotes about it during his scrum.
Okay.
So you're going to tell me you sat him there and you knew that he was answering questions? I don't think everybody was blind to that. Should somebody not have gone over there and said, hey,
well,
let's send a release. We still don't have a replacement for Crosby, or we're not sure yet.
And that's why, I want to torch this thing to the ground, too, because the kid deserves it.
He does deserve it. And
absolutely.
How heartbroken. Like, I don't even know. I mean, I'm not going to speak for him. I don't know how much he cares, but you're 21 years old, and you think, wow, I'm going to get a chance to play in the All-Star game with all these guys, and then, whoop, nope, no, you're not anymore. And
that's why
did I sit there and answer questions all day?
But that's why, Josh, I think we do have to be responsible here and just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, maybe something comes out in the next 24 hours. When they come back, maybe the Flames can shed some light on it. But I do know this.
Mm-hmm.
It was never made official.
No, I know the NHL didn't make it official.
Right.
But I just don't understand how nobody put a stop to Johnny Gaudreau sitting there and being grilled in his scrum that the NHL
I have been told on many occasions and reminded upteen times that it isn't the responsibility of someone to deny the rumor if the rumor's not true.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, a rumor involving them. Oh, now, do others? Yes. There's absolutely no shortage of organizations that jump out in front of stories and go, hold on. You know, we saw a couple of releases like that this week that actually there was a great exchange, 2 weeks ago between the Arizona Coyotes and a blogger about the future of Shane Doan. You know, they got out in front of that story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pointing fingers at the NHL. I'm not pointing fingers certainly at the Calgary Flames. I'm not even pointing fingers at Chris Johnson, because Chris Johnson is a reputable reporter who is, you know, has been right every other time.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel bad for is we all got into this. This was going to be, and rightfully so. Now just give me any explanation. Tell me why not. And that, if it is true, they're just, I don't get the point of just, well, we'll go one short.
Yeah.
You've already taken the other two guys in the Calder Trophy race, and we all agree that right now it's Ekblad. Well, actually, that's not true. We don't all agree because Rob Volman from Hockey Abstract thinks it's Klingberg in the Dallas organization. But for the most part, most of the media has been saying Goudreau, Forsberg, Ekblad. So you're going to take two. Why wouldn't you take the third?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Does not make sense to me whatsoever why you would, you know, not play him or why you would have him answer questions all day, but whatever.
And who knows? We may get our answer here in the next little while.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. We may get an answer at some point in time to why this is happening, but who knows what it is. But that's the situation right now. Johnny Gaudreau apparently not going to play in the All-Star game. Mark Giordano will play in the All-Star game. I just wanted to play this. We haven't played it. I guess we played a little earlier today,
sure.
But Elliot Friedman did have a chance to have a quick chat with Johnny Gaudreau. This was earlier this morning. Elliot Friedman talking to Johnny Gaudreau about the potential of playing in the game, but at least participating in the weekend overall.
Johnny, the funny story I heard yesterday was you get off the plane into Columbus and about 50 autograph seekers descend on you to get your autograph. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great experience. It's a great experience to be a part of this whole weekend. And, that's one of the things to be a part of, signing autographs. And there's plenty of people there to sign things for. But, it's a great experience for me.
What's the thing that you're looking forward to most about this particular weekend?
I think just being a part of the whole process here, meeting new guys, getting to watch the All-Star game, being a part of the skills competition. And, it's as a rookie and as a younger guy, it's, really good for my career to, be a part of something like this.
I asked Tarasenko the same question because it's his first experience. Is there anybody in particular you want to go meet, walk up to, talk to, pick their brain?
Yeah. I mean, not anyone in particular, but there's, really anyone I could ask here. They'd help, really, really help me, and it'd be beneficial for me to, go up and talk to and, ask how their rookie season went and how they, just playing in this league and what little things that, I could use to beneficial for me.
What's the biggest thing you've learned so far this season?
Yeah, I think for me it's, making sure playing well defensively in our zone. Bob Hartley's pretty crucial in, the defensive side of the puck as well as the offensive side. And he thinks, you need to be a two-way player. So I think that's pretty important to me.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of two-way play this weekend, though. I don't think you have to worry about that if you get to go in the All-Star game itself.
Yeah, that'd be a great experience for me. Hopefully, that happens. But, if not, just watching the game and, watching these skilled guys play hockey on the ice will, be pretty cool to see.
Final question for you. The beginning of this year, every young player says, I want to establish myself in the National Hockey League. I want to show I'm a player. If someone would have told you, you would have been here this weekend, possibly playing in the All-Star game itself, what would your reaction have been?
Yeah, I mean, would have been a little bit surprised, obviously, because in my rookie season, I was just hoping to make the team right out of the gate and then try to play as many games as I can and, help offensively a little bit. But, really fortunate to be playing with a lot of the players on the team that really helped me contribute offensively. So I'm really, really fortunate.
Good luck, Johnny. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say two things that jump out at me. At the time of that interview, Johnny Gaudreau did not think he was playing in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And Elliot Friedman did.
Yeah. And Elliot Friedman did, yeah.
That's what really jumps out at me. So I'm a little bit, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little bit buoyed by the fact that, Johnny Gaudreau clearly knew what was going on or was up. I don't think this is a case of a guy was told one thing and then something else mm-hmm. happened,
yeah.
Right? He's taking a conservative wait-and-see attitude. And that I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, at the end of the day, you're going to leave a spot open. You're going to play one player short on one team. Why? You have guys there. You've brought these guys here to showcase them. Why not use them?
And that's why I'm sitting here waiting, and I hope to get an answer. I would like, the NHL to address it, somebody to address it, Chris Johnson to say I talked to somebody, or Elliot Friedman to say I talked to somebody, and this is why. And there is as Bruce and I were kind of joking around all afternoon, there is a tendency to jump to the conclusion or the controversy all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a really common, reasoned, well thought out, thing. We just haven't heard it yet, an explanation. And I like to believe there's one here. I just, I feel bad for everybody involved because you could just see when people found out today on, you know, just on social media, even in the back room there, people were excited about this. You know, it's the old, he's our guy, right? We want to take care of our guy. What a great badge of honor that our young kid is going to be there. He didn't get voted on. He wasn't going to, but an injury opens up a spot. Johnny Gaudreau gets to play. We get to watch. That's, you know, that's the part that bugs me the most is even just now on Twitter or whatever you're watching or the response that I'm seeing anyways, people are, you know, pissed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I just feel bad for Johnny Gaudreau. Hopefully, you know, in his, you know, inside, he didn't get his hopes up, you know, by himself.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. I mean, that was early this morning, maybe, you know, a little bit after that, somebody had maybe kind of caught wind that he might have been playing or thought he was going to play. I do know at least during his scrums later in the afternoon during the media day that he was answering questions about participating in the game. So we'll see what the end result of it is now, but I'm sure we'll get some sort of an explanation or something will be decided before the draft tonight, or at least, I mean, before the skills competition goes tomorrow. So that's the case with the Flames at the All-Star game. And I guess we should mention the reason why that is because of Sidney Crosby's injury. That is some news today. He has taken an injection for a lower body injury that'll keep him out of the All-Star game. Team reported Friday that Crosby incurred the injury during the 2-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens back on January 10th. Sunday will mark the fourth time that Crosby has been selected for an All-Star game and has not appeared. And this opens up a whole nother can of worms of Sidney Crosby's All-Star game checkered past.
Yeah, I mean, how far do you want to take it back? I mean, what does he owe the game? Because that's what you're really asking. He should be in the All-Star game. Well, you know, Ron Toigo and the Vancouver Giants will tell you he should have been in the top prospects game, too.
Yeah.
And he took a pass on that. I don't think Sidney Crosby's pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. He's not playing against Winnipeg. Okay? He is, funny enough, going to come back after that game, but he's not going to play against Winnipeg.
Yeah, he's going to sit out one game as required.
The Penguins are too banged up for this kind of shenanigans.
Yeah, and I fully understand where the Penguins are coming from,
yeah,
the season they have, so I have no beef against the Penguins.
But this leads, this leads to the bigger and greater question, and it's what I asked Elliot Friedman yesterday. What is the value of the All-Star game? Because right now, you know, you've had a lot of positives. It's great for these kids to get talked to, lots of interviews and everything. But the last news cycle, Sidney Crosby's not going. Malkin's not going. Another injury, right?
Yeah.
You know, now Johnny Gaudreau's not going.
Yeah.
They're not going to, you know, he was, he is, he isn't, he isn't. What is this? And everybody kind of, you know, looking down their nose at the game to begin with, you really do have to question, don't you, the long-term viability. Having said that, Elliot Friedman's answer yesterday was, it makes money.
Yeah. No, absolutely right. I mean, it makes some money for the game. And for me, Sidney Crosby, you don't have to play in the game, but you've been selected. There's so many fans there that have gone to that game, probably planning to go there to get the chance to see Crosby, at least at the media day or at least at some sort of a fan fest to, you know, shake a hand, get a picture, get an autograph or something like that. So I understand where the Penguins are coming from. But, I mean, if Ovechkin's gone every year, every other player, Taves and Kane, they go, Stamkos is going. These guys at all understand this is for the fans. I don't see why Sidney Crosby might not just show up for the fan fest part
of it. Well, and who knows? Maybe he does. The one thing I will say is for those, you know, and when you are at the top, you're always going to have your detractors, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the nature of the beast. And for those who have it in for Sidney Crosby or, you know, think he complains too much or whatever, this just plays into their narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. I mean, who knows exactly what's going to happen there with Sidney Crosby if he does show up or something, but he won't be participating in the game. And once again, a lot of people out there immediately jump to the criticism of him because of it.
Yep.
So that's the story with the NHL All-Star game. One NHL story I wanted to touch on here as we go on in headlines, and it's the Seattle NHL potential franchise. Right. News coming out today that the mayor of Seattle, Ed Murray, met with both the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, and Gary Bettman earlier this week to kind of still show that Seattle is interested in getting both franchises back. And the big hurdle there, Rob, before either of those organizations go, first of all, the NBA has no plans to expand. The NHL, right, maybe a little bit closer to wanting to expand than the NBA is. The big hurdle is an arena still in Seattle, and still really no plans in the works for something that's going to be officially done.
I've never been able to get the true feeling of what Seattle wants. My gut tells me because they've been there before and they didn't lose it because of lack of interest. They lost it because of building, and that is the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
The NHL is a great story for us because it's a natural rival for Vancouver, and it's an accessible city, and it's a great city. And, you know, I think Canadians, Western Canadians, love that idea. What I don't know is what does Seattle want? Does Seattle want both? Well, I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think Seattle's that far off from trying to think of cities that have most of the major sports, you know, Los Angeles or Chicago or, now, Minnesota, right?
I consider it a pretty major market.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Minnesota, if I'm, this is off the top of my head, Minnesota's got MLB, NBA, NHL, and yeah, I mean, it's right football, in that category. So, you know, maybe they want both. But I've never been able, Josh, to figure out exactly what the motivation is. Is it to bring the NBA back, or is it to get a major league sports team, another major league sports team?
Yeah, what their motivation is. I'm sure the NBA is the number one priority for them. I have no doubt about that. The NHL would be something that they obviously want very much, but I think the big thing, since they had it before, is the NBA.
Right.
Because they miss it a lot. And you said it right there. There was a lot of support for the team. It was just an arena situation why they had to leave. One more hockey note, and that's WHL, the Calgary Hitmen. 3 games in 3 nights this weekend. They enter 24-17, 1-4, third place in the Central Division, 5 points back of Red Deer. They'll take on the Swift Current Broncos tonight. They travel to Edmonton tomorrow to take on the Oil Kings, and they're back at home Sunday afternoon to take on the Vancouver Giants. So a key weekend for the Calgary Hitmen. As you look at the schedule, just about a month and a half left in that schedule as we're kind of getting down to the playoff push for these teams as the playoffs get underway mid-March.
Am I missing it, or are we still into the season with the Calgary Hitmen without a significant, really good run from them?
Haven't had it, yep. Been waiting for it to happen.
I think in November, just after the whole Greg Chase thing went down, Chase, I think they heated up a bit. But I still, we know what Kelowna's like out west. We know in the east, Brandon's the powerhouse. And, you know, I'm wondering where the Hitmen fit in all of this. You know, they're going to likely see Red Deer again, which, you know, can they beat Red Deer? Probably. But I really like to see this Hitmen team go on a nice run right now. Do something to flex the muscles a little bit. Show us what they're capable of or capable of being.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. See what they do. And this is a good weekend. 3 games in 3 nights, all against teams that are in and around you in the standings. Vancouver will be a good test. Edmonton, always a great game. And Swift Current, you've had good battles with all season long as well. So that's a big weekend for the Calgary Hitmen. And to wrap up headlines on your Friday, the last little bit of news this week will be some tennis news as Canadians Milos Raonic and Vasek Pospisil both back on the court tonight for third round matches at the Australian Open. Raonic meets Benjamin Becker of Germany, and Pospisil will meet Guillermo Garcia Lopez of Spain. That is on the men's side. And over on the women's side, Eugenie Bouchard did advance to the fourth round, defeating Caroline Garcia, early this morning, late last night, however you want to look at it.
Fifth consecutive major, she's made the final 16.
Yeah, she is certainly making a name for herself, continuing to move up the ranks. And again, we'll look to get to the next round there.
Got
to
win.
Yeah,
needs to win. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, no, she set the bar. She's definitely not a one-shot wonder or anything. She is the, you know, she's the real deal. Now she's got to win. And once she wins, then how many, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll keep our eye on that throughout the weekend as well. And hopefully all three of them, I guess, will still be in contention when we come back on Monday.
Looking forward to it.
There you go.
There you go. Those are headlines brought to you by Josh Humphreys. He put them together. He slaved over them, and he did a miraculous job. It's miraculous that Andrew McBride can join us. This is a man of many talents, of many strengths, and of many titles, including captain of the Calgary Roughnecks, who are in action tomorrow. And also, as we found out yesterday, he's the new technical director for the Alberta Lacrosse Association. Andrew McBride joins us next. Here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Winter conditions seem better with quattro all-wheel drive, and the 2015 Audi Q3 extends the idea of what an SUV can be. Visit glenmoreaudi.com.
Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
A little later on this hour, Eric Tahachuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com. Ask him about Johnny Gaudreau. He wrote a great column on Johnny Gaudreau, and not necessarily about the All-Star game per se, but, you know, the fact he's in, he's out, those sort of things. A monumental, well, I won't even go into that. wait and see what happens, see if we get some information. Eric Francis will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber. We'll also hear from Craig Conroy, assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. Yesterday, I'm sitting at my desk, and a release came out, and I had to rub my eyes twice because clearly this can't be accurate, but it is. Calgary Roughnecks defender Andrew McBride, you know him, you love him, as the captain of the Roughnecks and a longtime contributor to this station, let alone this program, announced as the new Alberta Lacrosse Association technical director. Boy, does that bring up a lot of questions. Good enough to join us, as he always is, as we said, a constant promoter and a constant contributor to the station. And joining us down the Loop City Mobile One hotline, brought to you by Loop City, a change for the better, featuring Mobile One, the official motor oil of NASCAR, is the Alberta Lacrosse Association's new technical director, Andrew McBride. Well, what do you have to say for yourself?
It's a swanky title, eh, Rob?
It's a very... I love to see the business card.
I know. I got to get one made up. Maybe black on black. I don't know. I got to get something with that title.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I'm excited.
You should be, and congratulations. Yeah. I just because I love, as you know. How did this all come about? Tell me about this, how you got to this point to be named the technical director.
Well, I think it has to do a lot with what I've done in the community here and kind of building on that with my school program, coaching out in Okotoks, and just kind of being involved in the community here in charitable aspects. So I'm very excited to go out in the province, kind of promote lacrosse, really get the coaches on the same page, because that's kind of the biggest thing we hear with the kids is they don't continue to play lacrosse because the coaching might not be up to snuff. So as the new technical director, really my job is to kind of promote lacrosse, get kids playing. There's over 10,000 kids playing lacrosse right now, and really work with the coaches to try to take this province to the next level and compete with the BCs and Ontario in the provincial and national championships, and just kind of continue to put lacrosse on the map.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, are you going in to mentor coaches or are you going in to improve skill development or is it both?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. So one of the big things is kind of facilitating coaching clinics, really trying to get the coaches on the same page, because the one thing in lacrosse is you have really keen volunteer parents. You have a lot of people that are gung-ho, but people that really haven't played the game a lot. And the CLA and the ALA have done a great job in putting out kind of the necessary tools in a print manifest.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of drills online. But as you know, doing your hockey camp, it's one thing to read something in a book. But if X, Y, and Z doesn't go well, it's hard to really kind of make that change on the floor and on the fly. So my job to kind of do that, and as well as kind of promote the game and get kids involved, continuing with my school program, trying to develop that up in Edmonton as well and into some of the smaller communities.
So let me just stay on this path for a second. In your experience, how do you find lacrosse coaches to be? How would you define them? How would you, are they predominantly, well, I imagine they're all predominantly just volunteers. Are they parents? Are they, are they the type of people that will invest in the kind of information you will bring to them?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the big thing with lacrosse is you come to the games, you come to a Roughnecks game, you come to an Edmonton Rush game, you see Curtis Dixon doing crease dives, you see Jeff Shatler waving a stick in all these crazy positions, and kids want to emulate and then be that. But the big important thing about lacrosse is learning the basic skills. And I think one of the things that coaches kind of have an issue with or struggle with is trying to come up with all these creative drills when you can't do the basics of running with the ball with confidence, passing and catching. And in some younger levels, if it takes you a whole year for your team to be able to run down the floor and make three passes, then that's something you set as a goal and be proud in that goal. There's no point if you can't pass and catch trying to run a double pick and roll with a backhand and sneaking a person off the bench. So really understanding that it's okay to start with the basics, and that's how you see the skill level as a whole increase.
With Andrew McBride, the captain of the Calgary Roughnecks and also named yesterday by the Alberta Lacrosse Association as their new technical director, tell me about expanding the information across the province. I know a little bit about, the lacrosse situation here in Calgary and area. I'm very familiar with Edmonton's long-time team. What about other communities? Is it in Fort McMurray? Is it in Grand Prairie? Is it in Red Deer?
Yeah, absolutely it is. There's small towns, there's the Innisfils, the Three Hills, the Crow's Nest Passes. And I think the big thing is trying to relate them to the bigger markets, because you see it in other sports, everyone puts their focus on the Calgarys and the Edmontons and the big cities, but it's also including some of those smaller towns to feel like they're being part of the puzzle and they're being part of the prize and how they're pushing things forward with the development of lacrosse. So it's going to be a unique challenge in that sense, because they obviously have different you know, they have different requirements, they have different problems, they have arenas that are an issue. So it's going to be one of my hardest tasks, I think, trying to put everyone together and get everybody on the same page. And I think the big thing with me is it's not like I have a kid in the thing. I don't have, you know, like, yeah. I don't have a dog in the fight, as you say, because we see a lot of these coaches and a lot of these parents, and fair enough, I'm probably be the same way when I have children, but they're really looking out for their team or their kids' team or their kids' association, and that's great and all, but you really have to have a big plan. You got to have a 5-year plan. You have to have a 10-year plan, and if you work together in all those areas, it's just not going to improve your kids' team, but it's going to improve the growth of lacrosse.
Andrew, you mentioned it before, and I just want to touch on this because I think it is important for people to understand how you got to where you are, and part of it is the work that you put in. Tell me a little bit about the Calgary Roughnecks classroom lacrosse sessions that you run.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of been a little baby of mine. It's something I started when Brad Bannister owned the team. I started with 5 schools, kind of getting a principal I knew, and it really has taken off. We're in the schools from full-time from September to June. We're double booked. We have over 125 schools this year. We've seen 50,000 kids, and it's a program where I'm getting to the point where we have to turn people away because we don't have enough to work. And it really has been a labor of love because I understand the opportunities that these kids have. Guys like Jeff Snyder sent over 50 kids to post-secondary education, getting scholarships. There's opportunities for travel. The pro game is developing. And I think the bigger thing is learning life lessons, learning how to work as a team, learning how to give back in your community. And I've been very fortunate to work with organizations. I've been able to talk about right to play, been able to talk about healthy eating, finding your passion. And it's been a great opportunity because, you know what, my thing is lacrosse, but I'm trying to share to these kids that you got to go out and find your passion. It may be art, it might be dance, whatever it is, really go after your passion, because in Calgary and Alberta, we have so many opportunities that we have to be really thankful for.
Right.
And try to relate to that kid that these opportunities are here and now.
Well, without getting into because I could and I'd love to, and I always do, getting off the beaten track a little bit here. What I like about what I'm hearing from you, if you'll accept this compliment, is that you sound of like mind with a lot of the people that I tend to migrate to now. Take hockey, for instance. Our job as hockey coaches is not to create the next NHL player. It's to create 20 beer league players. The good players, yeah. It doesn't care what sport it is, Andrew. The good player will always get found. And until we start making this a life commitment rather than a weekend commitment, you know, by investing and getting them to love the game and understand how it helps them in other places, that's where we truly have success.
You're absolutely right, Rob. You hit the nail on the head, because it's not, like you said, it's not producing the guy to be the next NHL superstar. It's teaching a kid how to work in a team environment, teaching a kid how to support someone that maybe might not have as big a skill level as you, but at the same time be able to make him feel good about what he's doing. It's about learning how to lose as a team. It's about having your teammates back. And like you said, these are life lessons that you can keep with. You know, playing pro lacrosse is great, but how can we teach kids to be role models in the community, to give back to your community, to give back to your schools? And that's what it's all about. And helping these kids do that is something I take a lot of great pride in, and I'm very fortunate to be able to expand and continue that role.
Hallelujah, brother. You got my back, and whatever you need, man. We're singing from the same hymn book. So damn proud of you. This is Andrew McBride, the new technical director for the Alberta Lacrosse Association. He's also the captain of the Calgary Roughnecks. You have a game tomorrow. I know you've been sitting for a while, and it can't, speaking of sitting at the mark you are to start the season, can't be sitting well with you.
Yeah, I'm obviously not a great start. I think the bye week came at a great time for us. It was a time to reflect. It was a time to look inside itself and say, hey, these are the things we need to do to change that. And to a man in our room, guys know what they have to do. And you know what? You never like to hear what you're not doing well.
Right.
You never like to hear what you're getting called out. But that's the reality of the situation. That's what being a family is being able to call guys out for things that we need to improve on, being able to take that as on the chin, look at your teammate, look at your coach, look at the organization and say, yeah, we need to be better. So I think guys are going to understand what we need to do. We had a good 2 weeks in the gym. Guys were committed to that process. We were committed to making it better. And a tough test with Edmonton. Obviously, they're one of the best teams, also sitting in an 0-2 situation. So it's going to be an interesting little dynamic to see what the Dome is like tomorrow.
Andrew, you mentioned the last 2 weeks in the gym. And Kurt Malosky was on earlier this week with Pat after getting his extension, your head coach, and kind of alluded to the fact that maybe wasn't really happy with the conditioning at the start of the season. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously our coach's motivation, and he's trying to get us going. I think as a whole, we've done a great job in trying to be accountable, working with guys. We have a lot of guys living in the city. We've done a good job of trying to go to the gym and build that camaraderie back up. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You got to look in the mirror and say it's never good enough. So if your head coach is calling you out and the organization is calling you out, everybody needs to man up and go back to the gym and work that much harder. And I think from a leadership group, guys like Mike Carnegie, Jeff Snyder, guys that are constant professionals in the gym, they work hard and are pushing the pace. And I think, like I said, you never want to get called out by your coach two games into the year. So a good week for the bye week, and I think guys got the message.
Having worked this side of the microphone, you know there is a tendency to try and build up the matchup. And this sounds like I'm trying to build up the matchup. But considering the season both teams had, Calgary and Edmonton last year, a little bit surprising that we get into this game tomorrow night with the records that both teams have?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, same with Rochester's 0-2. So you have the two best teams in the league going 0-6. And I think that just is the way the league's going. You know, anyone can win on a given day. It's a new season. People really don't care what the Calgary Roughnecks or Edmonton Rush did last year. They don't care Rochester's won three games in a row or three championships in a row. They care about how they can be successful as players. So definitely it is a weird feeling. I know they're going to have a lot of animosity towards us and us knocking them out of the playoffs. But at the same time, I think the rivalry's really picked up. I mean, they're a young team. They play with a lot of confidence. They got an amazing role last year. But it was almost for us like, you know what, hey, these young kids, they don't know what's coming in the playoffs. We want to show them, and we believe in our skills. So it's going to be exciting. And both teams are in desperation mode, I think. I mean, I think maybe one time in my 13-year Roughnecks career, we lost three games in a row. So definitely not really a position you want to be in moving forward.
No, and we should point out that it's our pal Pete the Plumber's superhero night. And that's a big night, right? That's a big night.
It is a big night, yeah. 5,000 masks to the first. We got Superman Curtis Dixon. We have other, I guess we can have other superheroes around, but it's going to be an electric environment. I think guys are chomping at the bit to get out there. I know Curtis Dixon's excited to be front and center and do his little Superman dances and his little goal celebration. So I expect a big performance from Superman tomorrow.
He's standing right next to you, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay, okay.
I would have got him harder.
Okay, no, I thought, well, he might be right there. Best of luck tomorrow, but more importantly, congratulations and best of luck as the new technical director for Alberta Lacrosse Association. Whatever you need from me, you know you got it at the drop of a hat. I just love your attitude about it. I love your game plan and the way you're going about it, and I'm so excited for this sport because I think you're exactly what it needs exactly at this time. They couldn't have made a better choice despite my tweets earlier today.
Rob, I really appreciate the kind words. Thanks for so much, and I'll definitely be hitting you guys up to help facilitate the growth of lacrosse moving forward. I'm very excited for the opportunity, and definitely don't take it for granted and look forward to continue to put lacrosse on the map. So thanks very much, buddy.
All right, bud. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Andrew McBride, the captain of the Calgary Roughnecks. Love it, love it, love it. He's singing out of the hymn book. It's not we want to compete with Ontario and British Columbia, but want to create athletes, want to, you know, get a love for lacrosse, not force kids to play because they're good at it. You know, that will always happen. The good kids will always, 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 always get found. But how do we keep kids playing lacrosse when they're my age and your age? And how do we keep people with that athletic frame of mind and not get away from sports? That's the challenge that lays ahead. The challenge that lays ahead for us today on this program is we try to solve a little bit of the conundrum of Johnny Gaudreau. Is he, won't he, is he, won't he? He isn't. The National Hockey League's deciding not to replace Sidney Crosby. So earlier today, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet reporting that he would be in the All-Star game. He is not. Is this the end of the humanity as we know it? No. But sometimes you got to stand up. Sometimes you got to ask the questions why. And we're going to do that with our next three guests. Eric, and Chris. That's right. Chris Johnston, who broke the story, is going to join us at 5:25. Eric Francis from Jack FM and the Calgary Sun at 5 o'clock. But when we come back, timing, as they say, is everything. Eric DeHatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com, here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old corporate events? Liven things up and book your office party or team-building event at The Cave.
The fastest game on earth only plays here. Proud home of the NHL. We are Calgary Flames Radio. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sports Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Duhatchik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Until February 2nd, get a 2015 Rio LX with half-price payments of just $21 weekly for 1 year. Eastside Kia, 23rd Street at Barlow or eastsidekia.ca.
Timing, as they say, is everything. And our next guest clearly has that because he wrote an excellent column on Johnny Gaudreau, who's going to the NHL All-Star Game. But we find out today won't be playing. We thought he was. Now he isn't. But Eric Duhatchik from the Globe and Mail, Globe Sports, joins us. He is, if nothing else, he's always an interesting story, this young Mr. Gaudreau.
I agree with that. Yeah, it's too bad. You know, I was thinking, I mean, he'll probably play in the All-Star Game on merit at some point.
Yeah,
but you just never know. And the one thing about the All-Star Game is, like, you look at you know, this year's game. I mean, you know, Sidney Crosby withdraws, Evgeny Malkin withdraws. I mean, I'm sure that everybody has a legitimate injury case that they make. Mm-hmm. I don't think the NHL would allow them to do it. But I also think that if you've played in enough of these, you're ready to let someone else have a turn. And I just think that's the way it is. You know, like if you ask Patrick Kane, if you ask Jonathan Taves, and they were, you know, obliged and they had truth serum in there, it would be, you know, probably they'd rather have the,
yep,
you know, the time off rather than have to go to Columbus and play. And, you know, they'll be good sports about it. But the enthusiasm is from the first timers. That's where you get it. Like, somebody like Drew Doughty, believe it or not, has never played the All-Star game. So here's a guy that's probably burned out from, like, a, you know, million hours of hockey in the last 3 years, but genuinely excited about going because he's never been. And I think Mark Giordano is, you know, you can make the same case for him. And I think in the case of Johnny Gaudreau, he would add some life to it. I think it would really be a good thing for the National Hockey League to have him in the game, because he's the type of player that in a no-hit game like that, I mean, he could win the MVP. It's not as if, you know, he's not an all-star based on, you know, 35
right.
points
yeah.
this season, but he's had a good year, and people are interested in him, Rod. People care about Johnny Gaudreau the way they did when Theo Fleury was first with the Flames. You know, we'd be traveling through town, and nobody would write about the good players on the Calgary Flames except for Theo Fleury, because he had charisma, and there was a curiosity value, and so it mattered to people. They cared. They were really interested in him, and that's what you get with Johnny Gaudreau, you know. And I'm sure that, you know, Derek Wills has mentioned this, that he's been traveling with the team throughout the year. You know, it's like, that's Johnny Gaudreau, and the comment, of course, is the same for everybody too. It's like, wow, he really is that small.
And now, why the interest? I mean, the obvious comparison between him and what you're talking about with Theo is the size, but it really is the underdog element of this, right?
I think it's both, you know. Yeah. The size is, I mean, we, you know, what do people say about hockey is a man's sport, right? A man's sport, and it's a tough physical, you know, the game that you know, that requires, you know, like a commitment. You got to play with your head up. You know, you're going to get hit if you have the puck. And so when smaller players can not just sort of survive that, but can thrive at that mm-hmm. level, I think that's what the attraction is. And then, you know, to me, I mean, you referenced the piece that I did today, that, you know, the riff that I was trying to do, because, you know, there's been lots written about these guys, is
right.
that there have been different types of small players over the year. Like, you can't compare Gaudreau with Fleury, but you can't even compare Martin Saint-Louis with him. You know, Martin Saint-Louis, you've seen him, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks like a speed skater, right? I mean,
yep.
he's got, you know, the trunks of his, like, he's a big, small man, if such a thing is not
right.
a contradiction. Whereas Gaudreau is practically frail. And I think that's what it is. When people first see him, it's like, wow, he really is little. That's the one thing that they can't get over. They cannot get over how small and slight he is. You know, like, Theo was not, you know, like, Theo was a solid package, right? You know? And then, you know, even Joey Mullen is, you know, kind of a wide guy. I mean, Crosby's not tall. He's only 5'11". But Gaudreau is small. Like, he looks like he should be in high school. And so I think that's part of it too. That, and, you know, he has a kind of engaging Oshucks personality, and they've seen him on the highlight reel. So I think all those things together, Rob, I think that's what has created an interest in him that might sort of be beyond just the stats that he's posted this year for Calgary.
I want to ask you a question that you may have heard me ask earlier in the week, but, you know, because we're talking about, you know, you wrote the column and he's in the news right now because he probably isn't playing in the All-Star game. The brand, the Flames brand, Does it benefit beyond the borders of Calgary with a Johnny Gaudreau? Is there a business component to this moving forward? You know, Jarome McGinley was able to be a marketable. There's not a lot of marketable NHL players, but Jarome McGinley could do national advertising campaigns. Is Johnny Gaudreau somebody that's going to help the Calgary Flames brand beyond Calgary?
I think that that's a reasonable thing. I mean, the one thing that I don't travel with the team anymore, but I did for 20 years. And the one thing that you find is that there wasn't like a huge recognizable, you know, brand consciousness to Calgary.
No,
the era that I was covering, Edmonton had a brand.
Yep.
Edmonton, the team of Wayne Gretzky. Edmonton, the team of Mark Messier. So,
right.
So, you know, you'd go to, you know, someplace in the States and Edmonton, the Edmonton Oilers during that, the time when they were you know, like a you know, close to a dynasty team or a dynasty team, depending on how you want to look at it, they did have that recognition. I don't think I ever saw it in Calgary, even when they had those very, very
sure.
good teams in the late 80s and early 90s. So, but I think that Gaudreau in certain pockets will help Calgary. Like, for example, he's a popular player in Boston, obviously, because he went to college there. I think that there's a certain resonance because he's from New Jersey. So in that northeastern corridor, yeah, I think that it could have a value to them. I don't think that it would necessarily be a national value in the United States. I don't think that it's going to make him, you know, a bigger seller of jerseys in Los Angeles or any of the other Pacific Division opponents. But I do think that, you know, when Calgary goes into those places, you know, generally it's hard to put that name up on the marquee. They, you know, that's the, you know, the midweek game against Calgary is the one time that, you know, you can get Ranger tickets on StubHub for reasonable prices. But
yeah.
I do think that someone like Gaudreau, especially depending on where the career arc goes, but like I said, there's a certain curiosity because it's his first year in the league and because he's had this success. Where does it go? Like, does he take his game to the next level? Is he going to be a guy that is in the top 30 in scoring? Is he going to be a guy that, you know, that wins player of the month? Is he going to be a special National Hockey League player?
Right.
If he gets to that point, then I think that absolutely could make a difference to the, you know, to the recognition value of Calgary.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a very good point about, you know, you still have to, this is an exciting year, but it's still not over, and he's still got to do it for a couple more. But I just, he strikes me as a guy that could be on the cover of a video game. He strikes me as a guy, I remember going to the NHL store in downtown New York, and there was Jarome McGinley up on the screen, and it's like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
He strikes me as that kind of guy if he continues on this trajectory.
If he does, yeah. And, you know, I was talking to one of his, you know, his junior coach, Jim Montgomery, who's always very good talking about Johnny Gaudreau, and he made the comparison to Patrick Kane. And I do think there is some similarities because, you know, when you talk about what he does on the ice, what does he do? He backs people off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He backs people off with his speed. And I think that's the thing that is really attractive about him. The coach, Jim Montgomery, was talking about watching the Chicago game. This was back in December, I think. And, and he said, I mean, this guy's backing off Keith and Seabrook. He said, that's special. You know, it's not like, you know, they're daring and afraid to look bad.
Right.
So these are exceptional, special players. And he's, you know, and they're, you know, sort of aware of where he is. So, yeah, it's, you know, it would have been good. I don't know what, you know, your listeners are saying that, you know, because I think there was like a sense earlier in the day that he was going to play in the game. And I think most people thought, wow, good. Yeah, that should be fun, you know. And so the fact that they're going to play a man short, I don't know that necessarily helps market an all-star game that really does look like it needs a little bit of a marketing boost right now.
Yeah, and I've learned enough from the likes of you and other good reporters that flying off the handle within the first hour isn't always the best way, that I am kind of waiting to hear an explanation before, you know, total condemnation.
good thought, Ron.
Right?
That's really good, you know?
I'm getting better. let's talk a little bit about the All-Star game. You kind of alluded to it, a little bit of a tarnish. No Crosby, and I know you talked about him not being there. He is hurt. He's not going to play against Winnipeg. But it's surprising to me that only one All-Star appearance, and somebody suggested today that you should maybe even include what happened yesterday. Remember, he snubbed the Vancouver Giants when they hosted the Canadian Hockey League Top Prospects game. He didn't go to that. Do we worry about that? Does he ever? I really don't feel like Sidney Crosby owes me anything, but he hasn't been part of these things.
Yeah. Well, no, I know, and so much of it has to do with injuries. But, I mean, he is a guy that jumps through hoops on behalf of the National Hockey League. He absolutely does. You know, he shows up in New York for the player media tour. He sits down and spends, you know, like, you know, a lot of time. Like, I know he spent 45 minutes talking to Kevin Allen this week, you know, and he's doing a cover story in USA Today about, you know, Sidney Crosby. Mm-hmm. And another 45 minutes just, you know, talking. You know, he's a good person, and he does, you know, he does what he can to promote the game. So I'm totally going to give him a pass on this. I just think it's one of those things that, you know, circumstances such as anything else has conspired to keep him out of them. And the next time that, you know, that he legitimately, you know, is chosen to play and doesn't have a lingering injury, then I think you'll see him in the lineup.
How much of this weekend do you pay attention to?
Well, I always find that the most interesting thing is the picking of the teams. You know,
yeah.
You know, I almost kind of wish that they do the throwing the sticks in that center ice, you know, the way you do shinny. I keep equating All-Star games to shinny, so you can't take them too seriously. You know, you do have to see it as a marketing initiative on behalf of the National Hockey League. I think anything that makes it a little bit more, I don't know, you know, just a little bit different. I wish. You know, this is something that people on our side of the fence have been trying to come up with for a long time. Just finding, is there a way of making it relevant? Is there a way of making it interesting?
Yeah.
I remember talking to Mike Keenan about this because the Keenan sort of all-star coaching career kind of bookended the change in the all-star era. Like, he was the coach, I think, in 1987, and it was like a 4-3 game, and there were hits, and it was meaningful, and players cared about winning the game. And I don't know if it was because the winning team got 20 and the losing team got 10, or I forget. There was some, but that was, there was a period of time in the 80s and certainly before that, you know, when the Stanley Cup champions played the All-Stars, when it mattered, when an All-Star game was pretty good. You know, like, you see All-Star games in, you know, in junior hockey or prospects games like that, it matters. I mean, the players care. They're out there trying. And so that's a good thing, you know. Well, you know, now, of course, the thing is, it's a long season. You know, these players are giving up their time. So you can't expect them to go out and do anything more than play at three-quarter speed. Well, then they got to find a better way of promoting it or doing something to make it more worthwhile. I don't know. You know, like I say, you've heard me say it before,
yeah,
that I think the All-Star game should go outdoors. It would make it,
yep,
more sense. I mean, outdoor hockey is shinny, and
yep,
the All-Star game is shinny. And I do think that would be enough. There would be enough of a curiosity value if you did it. Maybe not every year, but some years. Just to, you know, just to give you a reason to tune in, because I mean, I tune in because I feel like I have to, but I, you know, you never get any pleasure out of it because it just doesn't look like, I mean, why do we watch hockey? We watch hockey for the passion, and there's no passion in the All-Star game. So, you know, once in a while there's a nice dangle, but overall it doesn't, you know, it just doesn't turn my crank. I'll be very interested to see what the television ratings are. So.
Well, and I'll leave you with this, and I'm not sure that we've ever talked about this before, but the only hint of regret that I have about the fall of communism, that is, I think the only time this thing held a real bond for me was Rendezvous 87, and is that the right name of it?
A great example, and I was at that thing, and you're right, it mattered. I'll never forget. You know what my lasting impression of Rendezvous is? They gave an MVP award to the Canadian guy, and they gave the MVP award to a Russian guy, and Valery Kamensky, before he came to the NHL, got it, and he won something like a radio or a Sony Walkman, and he was so pleased to win this radio, Sony Walkman. Like, you know, it would have been $100, but of course those guys had nothing in those days, right?
So, right.
But pure joy that this guy, I mean, he ended up making millions in the National Hockey League, and if you reminded him of it now, he'd probably be embarrassed. But I've never, you know, like a young guy to get a Sony Walkman for winning the MVP of the team. You're right. It was fun. It was, and the hockey was good.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how you'd ever, you know, recreate or resurrect that, but you're right. It's that kind of a thing that made it fun. It made it worthwhile. And I remember how cold it was in Quebec up there. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
The longest hair I've ever seen on a woman, Crystal Gale, was part of the entertainment. She had hair down to her ankle. There was something to see.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks for doing this, bud. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Same to you, Rob.
There you go. Eric DeHatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com. Coming up, Flames and Five for Pete the Plumber, the superhero, residential plumbing and heating. This is a pissed-off town. Calgary's on fire right now. They are angry. They want answers. I don't know if we'll get answers. We'll get some more fire, though. Eric Francis from Jack FM, the Calgary Sun, and Sportsnet will join us next. Speaking of Sportsnet, Chris Johnston, who first reported that Johnny Gaudreau was going to be added to the All-Star game, and then reluctantly had to report just an hour ago that no, they're going to play the game with one less forward and he won't go. I am hoping that there's a common sense explanation that I am going to hear and you are going to hear, and we're going to go, okay, well, that makes sense. Thank you very much. Trying my best not to get too fired up about it because it is only the All-Star game. But you know what? The kid deserves it. The kid deserves it. If Aaron Ekblad and Philip Forsberg deserve it, so does Johnny Gaudreau. Sometimes you got to just stand up when something isn't right. Later on, Craig Conroy, the special assistant. No, he's not the special assistant. He's the assistant general manager. Talks a little bit about the CHL Top Prospects game, which he took in, and also about Joni Ortio. Not sure Mr. Ortio is going to be back next week. Not sure. That's all coming up next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Nothing can unite a city like the passion for hockey. Sportsnet 960 is proud to be home for your Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Duhatchik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Until February 2nd, get a 2015 Rio LX with half-price payments of just $21 weekly for 1 year. Eastside Kia, 23rd Street and Barlow, or eastsidekia.ca.